Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. I did see a few of your voice notes earlier, and I'm hoping that we did address one of the key questions we got, essentially asking, when can I get my money back from MTN Zakhele Futhi? Again, we will ensure that we share a link to their platform just to ensure that you update your details and get your money as a South African. You put it away, you invested, you were disciplined. Might not be shooting the lights out in terms of return, but hey, at least you're getting your money back. We're shifting gears now to a conversation that helps us take a look at South African boardrooms. And according to the latest study and research of the 2024 South Africa Board Index, it shows that we're actually making real progress in terms of diversity. But what does that look like? What does it mean? And is it influencing the executive decisions that are then taken by the executive team led by the Board of Corporate South Africa? Lisa Mariano, co-author of the Spencer Stuart South Africa Board Index, joins us for more. Lisa, such a pleasure to speak to you. I guess, firstly, just looking at your title, co-author of the Spencer Stuart South Africa Board Index, this must have been a mammoth task, putting together some of the data, information and insight that we're going to discuss tonight.
Thank you, Gugu. Absolutely. But one that we have done over many years and that the firm does all around the world. So there are super systems and back-end processes and teams in support. So it's generally a collective effort, that's for sure.
100%. I'm glad to hear so. And maybe that also gives us some perspective into the pool of data that you're able to pull out. So maybe let's just start there as to how complex the research is to make sure that we're able to ensure that not only is it credible, but it is a fair reflection of the developments and shifts that we see in South Africa.
Yes, super. So our sample, it's a survey that we run on an annual basis, and Spencer Stuart runs it in over 20 markets around the world. Our sample in South Africa has traditionally been the JSE Top 40, the JSE Top 50. We've sort of gravitated to do the JSE Top 50 by market cap, and that certainly was the sample for the 2024 edition as well.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
We analyze data that is available in the public domain in annual reports. So we literally scrutinize that which is already reported on, as I say, in annual reports in the public domain.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. That helps us get a lot more context. And as you say, it's information that's out there. And of course, this is essentially from the financial statements and audited reports of these companies. I'm keen to get into the numbers, because this is also where it gets intriguing. For many of us, we often look at the CEOs of organizations and think, hey, what are you doing? But the CEOs also need to report to a board. And it's important for us to understand the role and function of the board, but also the role of non-executive directors and some of the shifts that happened there. Help us add some context just in terms of some of the shifts that we've seen in general over the last few years before getting into the most latest study.
Mm-hmm. Well, in general, we certainly have seen the growing diversification of boards, and that's diversification across many parameters, with the ultimate objective to lead to diversity of thinking, diversity of perspectives. So there's definitely been a growing and steady change in broad facets of representation. We also see increased scrutiny, as I'm sure as many a time been a topic on your show. Mm-hmm. Boards are increasingly under scrutiny, as are chief executives. It's the age of active shareholders. And it leads to, this need to be very focused on the dynamic of the board, the culture of the board, the composition of the board, and obviously then to consider the performance of the board.
Got you. There's interesting figures that are also published in the latest report that you alluded to, and that's the fact that women now make up 37% of all board directors and 40% of non-executive director positions. I'm keen just for us to deep dive into this stat and how it's evolved over the last few years, but also giving us some perspective of the term or tenure of males and females on the board.
Certainly. Let's start with the gender stats. And really, those are the stats. And those are slightly increased from last year, and they reflect a significant increase over, the last decade. But I think what's also interesting is, what are these women doing on these boards? So, for example, over a third of the chairs of the JSE Top 50 are females. Sure. Almost half of the audit committees in those entities are chaired by females. 40% are chairing remuneration committees, a quarter chair nomination committees. So they're holding very substantive roles in these boards, across these boards. I think another important factor, Gugu, if I may, would be the influx and what do the next generation of board members look like? Mm. So of new non-executive directors, 43% of these are women. Now, about half of those don't have board experience, which means it shows you the generational development. But we find it very heartening that, you know, we have this influx, almost half of new non-executive directors that are appointed to these very substantive boards are women as well.
Mm-hmm. That's really refreshing to hear that there's growth, there's development, and almost, I don't want to call it succession planning or a pipeline of development, but I guess that's certainly what is taking place. What I'm also keen to understand is, for many South Africans, we might wonder, well, board diversity is great, but is that translating into the efficacy of the direction and leadership that the board and its subcommittees offers to, I guess, the executive positioning and execution of strategy of businesses?
Well, I think, I mean, that's always going to be difficult to answer, but one can certainly appreciate if we look at our data, what does our data tell us along that? We see that in that sample, 28% of the companies in that sample have created new committees. These are committees of a variety of, you know, that cover a variety of topics, but they are flexible, agile committees put together in response to issues of the day. Now, they're not momentarily, they're formal constructs, they're formal components of the board, but they are there to address the very challenging times that we face, whether it comes to technology advancements, the drive for innovation, the impacts of climate change, ESG, etc. There are committees, specific board committees that are being constituted in addition to the standard board committees. So boards, we would argue, appear to be, in 28% of cases in our sample, appear to be putting together constructs, formal constructs, to address these very challenging issues that emerge in the volatile world that we are operating in.
So true. Very critical. And as you say, you know, this does speak to the shifts and changes that we are seeing. Maybe let's talk about that board organization as well, in terms of the subcommittees, how many they are, how often they meet, and the critical role and function they play.
Yeah. So first of all, I mean, you know, of course, we love the fact that we're seeing increasing numbers of women chairing these committees. You know, that is exceptional. And equally, I think another matter that's really important is the independence, obviously in general of the board, but equally how that cascades into the committees. You know, South Africa has an incredible independence statistic. You know, gone are the days where independent directors were in the minority on listed company boards. Objectivity and impartiality are critical for boardroom debate in order for these boards to support executives in the most constructive manner possible. So, South Africa, independence has been stable for a decade. Mm. You know, in 2012, it was 82%. It's 83% in 2024. It's remarkable that we've managed that. And that is really in response to a very robust governance framework that we have been adhering to.
And that would be the King Code, right?
Correct. Yes. The various King Codes.
Yes. I'm hoping that you can emphasize this further, because so often as South Africans, we tend to think that we don't have adequate leadership or governance and controls. If we take a look at perhaps some of the calamities that have happened on listed entities, whether it's a Tongaat or Steinhoff or a few others. But perhaps just underscore the importance of the King Codes and how that does make South Africa a lot more competitive when it comes to board governance and controls and representation in comparison to our international peers.
Yes, thank you. And I think that it is, you know, it's a well-respected code, right? And it's and well-adopted in South Africa, as we all know. There's no news in that. But if we look at our levels of independence, we compare so favorably with some of the highest levels of independence around the world, obviously based on differing codes of governance. You know, Finland and Switzerland sit at 92%. Mm. The US is 85%. France is 58%. We're sitting at 83%. Just to place that independence statistic in an international context, our average tenure is higher than the international average. The international average is about 5.4 years. Sure. per term, and ours, our average tenure has risen to about almost 6.5.
Would that be a good thing?
Well, I think it needs to be seen in context, Gugu. So let's just paint this picture. Mm-hmm. We have an influx of first-time non-executive directors. We have a large contingent of those that are women, and we know that the average age of women on boards is younger, and we know that in parallel, board members are being asked to stay for longer. Mm-hmm. So if you put it all together, the picture really is that new board appointees are joining at a younger age, and the older and more experienced board members are being asked to stay for longer. And that is really a reflection of this delicate balance between, fresh energy, new perspectives, proximity to, current fresh trends, yes, and then the very sage wisdom that comes with years and years of experience, perhaps as an executive, and then, cascading into a life as a non-executive director. So the broader picture is very important to consider when we look at those statistics around tenure, around average age, around independence, frankly, and around. And in that case, cascades into the composition of the various committees as well.
100%. This is so intriguing, Lisa, especially just that balance and dynamic that you've mentioned. The sages staying on for a little longer to offer their wisdom and institutional knowledge and guidance, and this pipeline of young board members being developed. This might be an unfair question, but I'm so intrigued to understand. This is largely in the private sector in South Africa. Do we see or find similar practices being adopted in public institutions?
So I probably can only give you anecdotal evidence, right? I think, in public institutions, one often sees, board members that may sort of, one perhaps sees a combination of experienced board members and certainly less experienced board members, really in the interests of building broad boards, building the next generation of board members, and frankly, refreshing those board perspectives. Mm. So one certainly sees that in the public sector. In the private sector, in big, large, privately held organizations, it's much harder to hazard a guess. Often one will have shareholder representatives. I think it gets complicated, yes, and it's dependent on a number of factors.
Gotcha.
But certainly in the listed space, the message is promising when it comes to diversity transformation and progression in line with international standards.
100%. This is really encouraging. I guess before I let you go, I'm so intrigued. I can imagine many South Africans sit back and they think, okay, well, we're seeing progress. We're seeing that the rate of progressive shift in diversity taking place in South Africa. And of course, the introduction of younger talent at a board level. But the truth is, you don't just wake up and, I guess, become a board member. For the benefit of anyone who's listening, help us understand what it takes from a skills point of view, expertise, yes, knowledge, and even the confidence to consistently show up, right, and offer sound suggestions and solutions.
Exactly. And it really is dependent on the depth of an executive career. I think in a decade or so ago, we did see a number of board members stepping away from executive lives quite early in that trajectory and developing quite quickly a portfolio of very substantive board roles.
Yes.
In today's world, the credibility that comes with having, led and driven and put one's shoulder to the wind in an extensive and successful career as an executive is really the material that stands one in good stead to build a portfolio of board roles, particularly in the listed sector, amongst listed entities. So it is about the delicate balance between building that executive experience, building that credibility, developing that track record that can be referred to and can be experience that can be drawn upon as one then is required to contribute to debate at a boardroom or to contribute as a member of an audit committee who's, working with a chief financial officer of a major listed entity that faces incredible challenges regularly and needs the wisdom around the table. One has to build that wisdom, and that comes with experience that is, a function of time in the seat.
Yeah, exactly. Time in the seat, skin in the game. Lisa, this has been such a refreshing conversation. I could talk to you for hours on end because I fear that there's so many dynamics to deep dive into. But we certainly look forward to touching base with you in future, not only to reflect on the board index, but certainly some of the nuances that remain true for a market like South Africa. Thank you again for your time.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Lisa Mariano, co-author of the Spencer Stuart South Africa Board Index, published for 2024. And as you've heard, we are progressing in terms of diversity, so much so that we do compete very well against some of our international counterparts. Essentially, we are seeing that there's a greater representation of historically disadvantaged South Africans. They account for at least 32%, and of course, more women taking up space at a board level, both at a non-executive and board director level. So this tells us something, right? Slowly, slowly, we're making progress. We're moving in the right direction. But let's not forget, this doesn't happen overnight. It's also through the implementation of key governance policies, if you consider the King Code. Share your thoughts and your views with us.
063-688-0959. Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.